talking now with Dr. Bob Smith from Stillwater. Dr. Smith, you're here at this cattle well-being seminar, an international symposium, what they're calling here at K-State, and you're going to be talking about some industry standards for handling cattle. Let's talk maybe a little bit about the background. How have we gotten to some industry agreed-to norms on how cattle should be handled?
This goes back for several years, Ron. You know, the cattle industry has been active in animal welfare issues since back in the 1980s, but really didn't publicize it much until the early 2000s. It was in 2002 that a working group was put together, comprised of producers from different segments of the beef industry, a lot of university people, and we had a couple of internationally recognized consultants that worked with us to keep us on the right track, that being Dr. Temple Grandin and Dr. Jana Swanson. And this is a process where we feel like the producers need some ownership in this, because they're the ones that have to work with these guidelines every day, so we want to make sure that they're workable, and affordable, but also credible. So these were approved by the membership of the NCBA. Since that time, we've handed out about 200,000 of the guidelines across the United States to university people, state livestock associations, and other groups, USDA and people like that. At the same time, we've built on this original project, because in 2006 we developed the Truckers Master Transportation Training Program, because the trucking industry is such an integral part of the beef industry. In addition to that, we worked with the Livestock Marketing Association and developed a DVD for training the employees and the owners of markets called Focal Point. Because, again, they market about 82-83% of the cattle in the United States through their markets. So we felt like that they needed to be on board, and they very willingly participate. And more recently, we've developed feed yard BQA assessment guides. And that way we can go through every aspect of beef quality assurance, from injection sites to purchasing feed to cattle handling, housing, and transportation, and it's all right there. We just check it off. And we can do that as a self-assessment to make sure that we're getting the job done, so that the livestock are receiving the care that they should have. But also that can serve as a basis for third-party auditors if they have an agreement with a retail chain or a grocery store chain. They can come in and go through that same process. And it's not the first time we've been through it. It tells us we've been doing it right all along, or if there's something that needs some work, then we can refocus our training on that. So by getting all people involved in this, we're getting buy-in from all segments, because each of them know that they've got a piece of the action, but also they've been included in the research, or at least the research results if they're not researchers themselves, the training programs. And I'm really excited the way it's come along. We've made an awful lot of progress through the years.
Now, things kind of changed a little bit the day that HSUS released that video from the West Coast from the packing plant. The scrutiny level suddenly went up. You never knew when you were on candid camera, I guess you could say.
Absolutely, and that's an example of people that weren't doing things right. What beef quality assurance is all about is anticipating what can go wrong and fixing it before it does go wrong. And so we're hoping that we learn something from that. That was the wrong thing to do. We know it's an isolated incident, but nevertheless, it was wrong. So this, I think, emphasizes even more the importance of targeted training and buy-in by the producers and everybody else that's involved in beef production, so that we do the right thing every time.
Let's talk about the producers. What are the things they really need to be paying most attention to? What if you had to point to one or two or three things they really need to be concentrating on, what are they?
I think some of the real important things for producers to pay attention to, and we should preface the remark by saying that overall our producers do a really good job. It's in their interest and also, of course, in the interest of their livestock. But nutrition is important. Cow-calf, we know some years when we have a little drought, it becomes a challenge for us, but we got to address those things. Health issues, overall, we do a good job. But we need to be looking forward on these calves we're producing, thinking about where they're going, not just where they've been. Preparing these calves so that they don't have to face all those stressors at weaning time, above and beyond the stress of weaning, because that's enough. And then cattle handling, and I think we've made a lot of progress in that area. We know more about how to respond to cattle behavior so that we can use that to our advantage. and people have upgraded their facilities. They don't have to be fancy store-bought facilities, but they've upgraded those so that they're functional, they're workable. And I think if we're looking at nutrition, preparing calves for where they're going, not just where they've been, cattle handling, and then addressing any of these more chronic illnesses early in the course of the disease, let's say a cancer eye or something like that, just don't let it get out of hand. Most of those are treatable early, and that's just one example. I think those are some things that we just pay attention to, and then and also have a culling program in place. Have a plan for culling our cows. You know, we shouldn't wait until the very end when there's no energy left. If the cow has a problem, she needs to be marketed timely so that her welfare is not compromised on the farm or during the marketing process or during the harvest process.
In your mind, how do we best communicate what the industry is doing right back to that non-agriculture consuming public? They're being told a lot of bad things, a lot of wrong things by groups like HSUS. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities for all of us, whether we're producers, nutritionists, veterinarians, work for the university, you know, extension agents, pharmaceutical reps, and right on down the line, to get involved with civic clubs, people that we know at church, the neighbors, and be ambassadors for the beef industry. In fact, we have a program now called the MBA program, Master of Beef Advocacy. Mm-hmm. And this is a neat program. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it's well organized. We can take that course online. And it helps to prepare us for dealing with the public, whether it's an interview or whether it's a chat room on the internet, or taking the opportunity to speak to a local civic club, the Kiwanis Club, the Lions, speaking to schools and things like that. So I think we just take that opportunity each time that it avails itself to tell people what the beef industry is all about. At the same time, we just keep working together as an industry and all of its allied partners to do the best job that we can in producing beef.